just express your gratitude to him. You would have thought about it many, many days. You would write the speech down, write it again, another draft. How are you going to thank him? You have nothing else in your mind. While you're talking to the king, you'd be totally mesmerized, transfixed on him. So certainly if we have an opportunity for an audience with Hashem, we should certainly take the opportunity. And he says, later on, he says, remember one thing, that the Rebbe Shlomo is a very, very busy person, you imagine. He has to listen, he has a lot of shuls to go to every morning. Many, many shuls. And you don't have to be in shul to daven, there's people who are davening not in shul. And the Rebbe Shlomo is shomea tefilas kol peh. Hashem hears the prayers of every mouth, even from a goy. Hashem doesn't only go to shul. He goes to anybody who prays, who believes in Hashem. If you believe in God, even if you have a distorted image of what Judaism is or what, but as long as you believe in one God, there's a God, there's one God. Hashem Shomea Tefilas Kol Peh. If the prayer is addressed to the one God, then people can be in the most unsophisticated kind of prayer situation, and they daven to God, and Hashem listens to it. We don't have a monopoly, and shuls don't have a monopoly, and the sitter is not the only way to daven to Hashem. And with the rice, you don't even have to daven from a sitter. From the Torah, it's unnecessary. So, we would imagine that Hashem is inundated with prayers. You can think like the heavenly Kisei covered, like, you know, like a million fax machines coming in. The fact, here's one from Mexico, and here's a fax from three from Muncie, and here's 14 from Williamsburg, and 15 from Borough Park, and 29 fields from Bnei Brak, any one given second, and 52 from the Kotel. And, you know, it's coming all over the place. Hashem pays attention, says the Chavos, to every prayer individually. There's no such thing as Hashem is, if you want to speak about him in human terms, Hashem has time and patience to the extent that a person prays calmly to Hashem and concentrates. To that extent, Hashem, so to speak, concentrates on his prayer and accepts it with absolute love and mamash, as if this is the only person. If a person comes to a level of meditation, there is nothing in the world but Hashem right now. Ein od milvado, nothing but God. So that's how Hashem listens to his prayer. And he can do that for millions of people at the same time. And then, he says something very interesting. He says, he has a very interesting lashon on what prayer is. If someone could just give me a back, give me a tillum over there, this little tillum down there. Down there, tillum. No, give me there. Okay, thank you. So, he says like this, he says, thank you. How could it be that you do otherwise? How could you not daven with ne'monos? Hariat tefila nimtzeis b'yotcha v'tor ne'monos v'pikod ne'meis aborit. Prayer, he says, a very interesting lashon he uses. He says, prayer is a pikodin. It's a deposit, it's like something Hashem gave you for safekeeping. Who masar es tachna liyotcha, v'nasan aisa l'rishuscha, v'afechadem estaka le'zulasai. So this is such it's like a personal deposit that Hashem gave you, and that gave us, and we have to deal with it in a honest and responsible fashion. So, very interesting lashon that tefillah is a pikadon. Now, I believe that there's a pasuk in Tehillim which reflects this idea that the prayer itself is a gift from Hashem. It's like Hashem gives us a tefillah in our mind every day. Hashem puts the words in our heart, and Hashem just says, "Well, give it back to me." I don't even expect. How can a person speak to Hashem? It's really a little bit too much to expect of us. After all is said and done, Hashem is very, very distant. He's close, but he's distant. He's beficha v'levavcha, and yet Hashem is out of this world. It's a very difficult contradiction to reconcile. Hashem is out of this world, and yet he's beficha v'levavcha, kikar v'adavar lechem oy, beficha v'levavcha, tshuva, tshila, these are all in our heart, in our tongue. So David Melech has a lashon. He says in the end of Kapitel Samavav, Pasuk Yutes Nachav, Samavav, Achein Sham Elohim, indeed I believe that Hashem in truth listens to me. Hikshiv Bekol Tfilasi, he paid attention to the sound of my prayer. Baruch Elohim, blessed be Hashem, Asher Lo Hesir Tfilasi V'chasto Meiti, who has not turned away my prayer or his kindness to me. He has not taken away my prayer. In other words, prayer is a thing. Prayer is like a cheftza. David HaMelech describes prayer as being something that's inside me. And Hashem could take it away from me. It's like a gift from Hashem. And thank heavens he hasn't taken it away from me, because it's really a gift to be able to have a sense of davening to Hashem. It's a big gift. You know, you see the lashon, Baruch Alem Hashem, Hesed Filasi V'Chastam Iti. Thank you, Hashem, for not taking away my prayer and my sense of gratitude for your kindness from me. The Baltic. That's what he said, Tfilas HaPikadon. You know, I had for lunch yesterday, I had this, you know, I told you, these boys who came here for Shabbos from Or Eliezer, wonderful, wonderful young men, and each one of them has a story. So I had a boy with me who comes from a totally anti-religious family, given Saras through this. I didn't realize he's a very mature boy, and he looks like at least 15, 16, I thought he was 15 at least. I just was bar mitzvah last week, 2 weeks ago, and amazing little kid, you know, mamish, this kid, he makes it his business to get a bracha for the mitzvah, made a business. He says he became frum on Rosh Chodesh Av, this year. He just came frum. He taught himself Hebrew this summer. He worked in order to buy himself a borsalino and a black jacket so he could look like a yeshiva bachur. He realized later on that Rosh Chodesh Av, when he decided to come from, which means he started putting on a kippah and wearing, and by, he put himself a pair of tzitzis and started wearing them outside. Everyone made fun of him, of course, in his family. Thought it was crazy. Especially since members of his family are going to marry Goyim. So you can imagine where these people come from. And he realized later on, this kid picked this up. He went to get a bracha from the Heintik above the Rebbe, and somehow he realized in that process that the Friedrich Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, Zchus Yog Aleinu. So the Rebbe was nifter on Rosh Chodesh Av. So he likes, he has a regesh that, like, you know, the day the Rebbe died, like, that was the day, like, Osiris for me to become a Baal Tshuva. 13-year-old. He wasn't in Bar Mitzvah yet. Maybe somehow he got a bracha from Rav Palm before his Bar Mitzvah. I don't know. He got a bracha from Avdi Gadol before his Bar Mitzvah. It's amazing. The little kid. Someone was so impressed with him, they bought him a beautiful pair of tefillin. So, a beautiful, beautiful young man. And it's very difficult for him, very difficult. He has to travel every day to his yeshiva by bus, an hour and a half each way. He has to get up 5 o'clock in the morning to get up time for yeshiva. An hour and a half to get back home. His biggest problem is, in his neighborhood, it's hard to find a meyer at night. He's in Canarsie. It's not so much meyers, not so many meyers going on in Canarsie. So, it's getting quite dark over there. So he tells me, what does he tell me? He tells my wife and myself, he says, you know, Baruch Hashem, I have such a geschmack, and I want to teach other Yidden Torah. I want to be mekarev of other children. It's very mature. I only worried about one thing. I shouldn't lose my inspiration. I'm afraid. Now I know I'm strong. Now I know I feel great inspiration. I know I feel very high. I feel very dedicated. But I'm afraid I shouldn't lose it. He says, he realized the gift from Hashem, that this is Cyrus for tshuva, Habal Attire, a 13-year-old kid, his bar mitzvah 2 weeks ago, December 25th or 26th, his bar mitzvah. He said, I only daven now, I shouldn't lose it. I shouldn't lose it. He understands that the gift, it's true, it is a gift from Hashem. And many people, all of us, have a Cyrus for tshuva occasionally, and then we lose it, and we have to daven not to lose it. So the Chavis of Abbas says, the davening itself is a gift from Hashem. The idea that I really want to daven to Hashem. I have this sense that Hashem is listening and there's a dialogue going on. This is a great, it's a pikadon. He says, Hariatfila nimseis biyadcha betar nemonos a pikadon meis haboire. It's Hashem trusted you with tefillah. It's a gift. And he only gives it to people who deserve it. It's a merit de gazach. And he says on this, the pasuk in Tilum Kufalev, Einai b'ne'emnei eretz. The Rabbi Shimon says, my eyes are on those who are faithful on the earth. L'shevis imadi, the people who want to sit with me. They want to sit with the Rabbi Shimon. Ho'ilech b'der, tamim, the person who goes with innocent faith. Who Yeshua is saying, that person, only he, do I want to serve me. You think everybody can be Hashem's servants? You think everyone can be Hashem's bodyguard in his personal retinue? No. I put my eyes and I put my full attention on Nemanei Eretz, on the people who are honest and getrai, meaning they have a sense that every Isiris is a gift from me, it's a pikad, and I've deposited, I Hashem deposited that very iteration to daven to me in them, and they want to be with me, L'Shevis Imadi, Ha'ilev B'Terech Tamim, Hu Yishar Seini, the person who will serve me is the person who has that innocent kind of faith. But if you don't do that, if you don't daven with your tongue and with your heart, as you should, B'Tor Ne'emon, as a person who's a trustee, we are all trustees, we are prayer trustees. So then he says, you're just the opposite. Then you are a traitor, a moyel. A moyel is a traitor who has betrayed the nemonas, the trusteeship that Hashem has given. And in regard to such people, it says, Nazinu, Hidor tapucha isema. They are a topsy-turvy, upside down generation. They dray everything around. They're a bunch of drayers. They're not trustworthy. I can't trust them. So prayer is the litmus test to a person's nemonas, how honest we are with our trusteeship with Hashem. If a person uses the prayer properly and davens with a sense, I owe it to Hashem. Hashem gave me the tzaris to daven. I owe it to give it back to Him. If I have a sense of trusteeship, fine. Otherwise, we go into the category of moyalim, traitors, and conspirators against Hashem, dor tapuchais, a topsy-turvy generation, bonim loyim abam, untrustworthy. Imagine if Hashem tells you untrustworthy, you're not a trustworthy person. Be very startling to hear that. Someday we might hear that. So he says that is what prayer is all about. That is what prayer is all about. So here, this is what the Chofetz Chaim says about tefillah. That is the ninth meditation. The tenth meditation is Azoy. He says, my dear friend, he says, the tenth meditation that a person should make should be that a person should recognize that not only Hashem is watching us all day and all night and watching our external activities, He's watching our hands, whether they are dishonest, He's watching our lips, whether they're saying the wrong things. But we should know with all of our hearts that Hashem sees our insides, our inner thoughts and feelings exactly as clearly as He sees our external activities. Hashem sees it all. And we know, we put a lot of effort into that nice fancy tie. Every couple of weeks you pass by that store where you have your ties. Make sure maybe a new shipment of some good ties. Tie, you gotta spend a lot of money for a good tie, you know. It's not easy. No one just wear plain black, you know. Can't be just cheap polyester. Make sure it's 100% Italian silk. You gotta get a nice tie. Gentleman's Boutique on 16th Avenue. That's where you get the ties. Must spend $100 on a tie. Gentleman's Boutique. And, there's a Chaim shaking his head. Here's a cheaper place. Oh, yeah. He's got a bargain, but let me know if the davening. But,
$3 for $10
on John Street. Nah, I wouldn't even step into such a place. I wouldn't want to even see them. I wouldn't be caught dead in such a place. Anyway. Please. Horrible. No, you want to buy a tie, it takes a lot of avoid. The tie is not avoid. You have to go and search for the right tie. And the proper suit. It's not supposed to be the proper suit. And of course, the ultimate is your new Borsellino. That is a real avoider. So if you watch Yeshiva Bochum and Bancroft, the way the Ma'ayan, Alavaydash and Ma'ayan, and the Shver Taisvis, like the Ma'ayan and Shver Borsellino. Hours. Because I used to go to all my five sons. I was there for, I spent a bit of time over there. But I see Bochum, Chashim and Bochum, hours. Azoy and Azoy. First I had to find the right crown, the right brim, the chayach. As a matter of fact, I was sitting. I went for a certain reason to the hat store here, Erev Shabbos, and I was just sitting there talking to the proprietors. And so some kid walks in. He thought I was working behind the counter because I was looking. So he said, "Can you help me?" I said, "I'm just the mashgiach over here." Mashgiach, and I had to. I have to make sure the brims are the sheer chaznish. That has to be a. So if you want to know if it's the right shear, come to me, I'll measure.
it's big enough for you. But if I, otherwise, it don't work here. I don't. I just. I'm only in the brims. I'm in charge of the brims, and that's it. So, anyway.
But I'm a child
like this. That's right. So, Zach the as he says, boy, people are miskashet, malbushim, achitoivim, kefi yechalteinu. We decorate ourselves, adorn ourselves, embellish ourselves with the fanciest clothing we can get, as much as we can afford, the more that we can afford. And certainly, if you're going to, if you have a lacrosse malachim, if you be invited to 600 Pennsylvania Avenue, to beat the president, you'd vaday pshinat shayach what you would do. So he says, and like Esther herself said, kein lovei oshar melech belevush sak, or Mordechai said, you can't come like that. So, or even Paro, he says, vayishlach Paro v'yikrol Yosef v'yitzul na'bor, vayigalach v'yichalik simlois, it was Rosh Hashanah, and Yosef still had a shave Rosh Hashanah, he was shaved, he changed his clothing. So you're going in front of a king, you have to have beautiful clothing. So too, when we daven to Rabbi Shalom, we daven every morning, come to shul, you daven, you have to wear nice clothing to davening. Nice suit, nice tie. Take off your galoshes, come to davening. Come to davening, it's a snowy day. You wouldn't walk around. If you walk around, you're living with your galoshes, with your wife's going to throw you out, you're in big trouble. But you come to davening, I'm too lazy to take off my galoshes, so I daven with my galoshes on. Huh? You wouldn't do that at work? Maybe. I hope you wouldn't. I hope you wouldn't do it in your living room. I don't think your wife let you away with it. But the davening, people tramp in with the galoshes on. Azoidas. That's how it is. They don't do that. He says, that. So for davening, for sure, the outside has to be beautiful. I must, come in. I mean, there's these, the factory, the mincha factories, people come in, they wear their overcoat. Really, you take your overcoat off for davening. I must say, every now and then I go to Landau's quite frequently. I go to Brooklyn, so in the freezing winter, I leave my coat on. I must confess, when it's really cold over there, because people, I also leave my coat on sometimes. But that's, you take your coat off, take your scarf off, benachas. If you're davening already, take off your galoshes if you don't think they get stolen. You put them in a safe place. If it's possible, Baruch Hashem, here with you're not going to get stolen. If you go to a place like Shomer Shabbos in Borough Park, maybe it's better to keep your galoshes on. You might not find them. Not going to steal it. Something get mixed up. Okay, I can appreciate that. You go there, but if you're a normal shoe, you take off your jacket, you take off your coat, take off your scarf, you daven like a mensch. But he says more important than the outside is the inside. He says this requires a lot of discussion. He says, if they should call him, he says, madoch a person has to make himself look presentable for the Rabbanu Shlom on the outside before he davens. Kol shekein, the kol shekein, pikama, how many times more? Roy lanu v'chayav manu, it's appropriate and we're responsible. L'skashet, l'fnei Hashem, b'avodaso, b'pnimi yuseinu, u'belibeinu. How much more must we beautify our insides? So how can we go to daven and still maintain? We have some hatred against somebody right now. We're angry at somebody. Can we be angry at Hashem too? We're full of anger, bitterness. We're full of all kinds of terrible thoughts. We have other thoughts we shouldn't be thinking. We're thinking things at the source of the street still. We're thinking what we read about 15 minutes ago. It's amazing. And I tell you, it's different for a person. I mean, the more you say, you're not even supposed to daven from a halacha psuka. You're not supposed to daven for halacha, unless you finish the halacha. In the middle of learning, you can't just go from the middle of learning, even from learning directly into davening, because your mind is still it's a tumult. Certainly, a person turns over the television set and he runs to shul for mincha meir. I don't know if anybody watching television before shachris wouldn't dream of such a thing. But maybe someone's running to shul before mincha meir, they just watched a program. You'll never get out of your head anyway, but you cannot get out of your head. You just watch this video, you listen to this crazy tape, you listen to this crazy music. You're not going to get out of your head. How can you daven like that? So it's in your pnimius. It says, mekashit, your pnimius many times more than your chitzanius for davening. So it's hypocritical just to put your tie on for davening and put your gartel on. So how many people put the gartel on for davening? And outside they look, he come across the kecha, and inside their brain there's all kinds of garbage spewing forth. So he said, and also tear this, think about business, think about the deal I'm going to make, think about the profit I'm going to make. Hashem knows everything, he says. The Navi Yirmiyah says, Ani Hashem, I am God, who examines your heart, and I test your kidneys. Kidneys really means, kidney is a filtration system. I question, just like the kidney filters the blood, intellectually, kidneys also represent the intellectual filtration system. How well have we filtered our thoughts to be pure to Hashem?
I know, says Hashem. Don't, you can't fool me. I know everything. And it says in Mishlei, B'chol Mokoyim, Einei Adonai Tzoyfais, Royim V'toyvim, every place, everywhere, the eyes of God are watching the good and the bad. And the Navi Zechariah says, Einei Adonai, Heima Meshotetim B'chol Oret, the eyes of God are scanning. So you go into the bank, and you have that ubiquitous camera watching wherever you go, it's following you, that camera. You can walk this way, you walk that way, the camera is following you. It's every place, not just banks. Everywhere you go, that eye is following you, it's watching you, where you're going. And you know, you go, and everyone goes to the airport and we have to be scanned, you know. Everyone gets scanned when they go through a security check. It's really a joke, the security, I'll tell you. But the mice, they check you. I always get beeped because I always have a face, something on me. I always have something metal. I get beeped and I go, Nachamo. And Nachamo, you have to think, where's it beeping from? Where's it beeping from? And you see the x-ray and they're looking at you. You have to learn a lesson from that, says the Chavos of Avos. Mad, if you're going through airport security, they're checking the pneumius of your baggage and they're checking what's inside your pockets. And they're mocking on security because if there's no security, you can blow up the plane. So every individual has to do security check on himself before the whole day. We have to do security check on ourselves. We might be carrying explosive midas rois, explosive bad thoughts, all kinds of stuff that can poison and ruin our lives. And the Rebbe Shalom is watching. Hashem is constantly, it's all being recorded by the Rebbe Shalom. You might get away with it, but he's going to get you. And I know there's a crook in our neighbor. The guy's a con artist. So I was listening to that. How's the guy getting away with all this? He says, don't worry. He's under federal investigation. He doesn't know about it. But he's going to get caught someday. They will get caught eventually. All the criminals think that no one's watching. But the feds are on the guy's case, and they're watching. They're looking up his records and his taxes. And when they get their case built against them, they don't close in until the case is complete. So if the FBI doesn't close in, the FBI was tracking and stalking John Gotti for a long time until they got John Gotti. They were stalking, the DA was stalking the whole mafia for a couple of years. Then they got 44 chevret together. Then they made the big dragnet. Then you get them. Hashem works the same way. And Hashem is more patient than the FBI and the DA. And he can wait 10 years and 20 years. He's building a big case against every one of us. Just because of John Gotti flashing there for John Gotti was doing great. He was going around in Cadillacs and with bodyguards and big diamonds and cigars in the house on the island. And John Gotti was doing just great for 10, 20 years at the top of the world. He could knock people off at death will and the chayach. Doing great until one fine day the feds got him and now he's in jail forever. So, same thing with every one of us at the Chavos of Avos. The Rebbe Shalom's watching. He's building a case. And so he's waiting, he might wait 80 years. But when he slams us, Rachman Aslan, we're going to get slammed and doomed forever. The longer he waits to build up the case, the worse it is for us. Because he's got the goods on us. Their brothers got the goods. So don't think because it's going good for us now that Hashem must forgive me. Hashem really forgot. I gave some tzedakah. I gave the appeal yesterday for the Yemenite Jews. Hashem, that definitely eradicated everything. That cleaned me out entirely. I gave money for the Yemenite Jews. The rabbi likes me. God must like me. Just because I like you doesn't mean God likes you. I like a lot. I like everybody. You know, I like big sinners. I happen to be known to love big sinners. I love myself. So I love myself. So you see that I can love the biggest. I'm very forgiving. I'm very tolerant. I'm the most tolerant to me. So don't bring any proof of me. If I love you, it doesn't mean anything about the Rebbe Shalom. I'm sorry. I wish it would. It'd be great. I wish I had that power. It doesn't work that way. So says the Chavos of Avos, gotta watch the inside. Hashem is watching our inside. He's building the case against us. The inside is more important than the outside. Let me just conclude this point though, because I want to. This point is powerful. So the Chavos of Avos says that a person will constantly make an effort to clean up our insides and get rid of the greed and the anger. And even the worry and the fear, all the things that bother us, because I believe that everything is in the hands of the Rebbeinu Shlom. If a person says, Hashem, I want to let you into my life, let me clean out my inside, my thoughts. And only Hashem can do it for us. Again, it sounds impossible. It's only impossible if we want to do it ourselves. We just have to be aware that we got to clean up our insides. I think clean up our brains. Hashem, clean up my brains. I have some very improper attitudes. A lot of bad attitudes, a lot of pride, a lot of prejudice, a lot of hatred, a lot of bitterness, a lot of jealousy, a lot of, you know, Hashem, help me clean it out. I'll give it over to you one at a time, Hashem. And when I give it to you, clean it out. I can write it down also. It's another good way. Write it down. Hashem, help me dispose of this. I'll see it in front of my eyes. Then I'll rip it up, Hashem. As I rip this up, please, there's somebody I can't stand for the last 35 years. Help me get out of my system, Rav Shlom. I'm helpless. But as a person cleans out his insides, then Hashem, and the person always wonders, you know, I learn so much, I forget everything. I learn so much. I go to shul so often. I'm still so unholy. How could be? I've been going to shul for the last 45 years, and I'm still such a trash, profane person. And my brain is still full of so much profanity. I have so many things in my head, and the words I use, and the thoughts I think. And what's going on? I've been going to shul for all these years, wearing tefillin all these years, and it hasn't helped very much. What is this with religion anyway? It doesn't seem to help anyway. Where's all that sanctity? Because on the inside, nothing has changed. And you went to shul, and you put it into all the junk inside. It doesn't help. But when a person says, I just woke up, that the main thing to clean up is my inside, Hashem, help, I'm opening myself up. So first of all, so you're going to shear so many years now, and everything you learn goes in one ear or the other. It doesn't stick. You know why? Because tumah throws away all the kedusha. A brain, with the brain that's bad stuff in the brain, the good stuff can't remain over there. Says the Chavos Levavos, once a person decides, I gotta clean out my refrigerator. You ever see your wife clean out the refrigerator, all the moldy old vegetables and all the junk and all the stuff in the back over there that, you know, has a mold forest over there and blue and green and all kinds of colors. So we have moldy, yucky thoughts and gotta get rid of it finally. There's no room in the refrigerator for some fresh food. And if you put fresh food in, the old spores will ruin the new food because the old junk in the back is gonna contaminate it. So he says, open your heart to the Rabbi Shalom. Reveal the secrets to the Rabbi Shalom. Confess your old deep dark secrets for the Rabbi Shalom. Ask Hashem to madrich you, give you an hogan and hadracha. Ask Hashem, I'm so weak, Hashem, I need you to walk me, mamash, walk me step by step to the road to purity and cleanliness. Hashem, help me. Because, and we don't clean up our, there's no room for the brachas. Hashem wants to give us brachas, but our refrigerator is full of junk, and our pockets are full of garbage. Our spiritual pockets, our intellectual pockets, our emotional pockets are so full of garbage, Hashem can't send us a brach. He wants to make us rich, healthy, wealthy, happy, successful, shaduchim, panos, everything, but we're so full of junk, he's like, I can't get in. So we start cleaning out. I love throwing out junk. It's good to throw out junk outside, junk too. I love cleaning my drawers all the time. Because that reminds me of clean out my inside drawers. But it's good to, I love throwing out shirts. Throw it out. Don't mix with a weird dafka, frayed old shirt, socks with the holes in them, you know, no darn socks. No one gives a darn anymore. No one darn socks anymore. It's not going to happen. It's not worth the effort. Don't throw it out. It doesn't fit anymore. Throw it. The last thing is no good. Throw it out. Those t-shirts are, throw it out. And that reminds me, we got to throw out the old stuff. You can't stay with the old stuff. You have to have new attitudes, new opinions. You got to have new. And then he says his famous words, with which I'll conclude. This is from the classic lines of the Chavos Levavos. He says, when a person begs Hashem to help him clean out his insides, I said, I'm too weak. He said, Hashem, Royi lo yachzor, Hashem, you are my shepherd. You will guide me. I will be missing for nothing if you guide me. Then he says, good to say that kapitel from the beginning of 10, 23. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Say that as your house cleaning. You'll be in the highest madrega, he says. Don't think for a second you'll be great. Yamav madrega al yayna b'yaysa shal madrega sachasidim. You're in the highest level of devotion and piety in the world with this. Like the highest level of chasidim. He says, you'll be the highest level of tzaddikim. And this is where he says the line that some people love here very much. V'yire b'liayin. The person who is living in the internal world and neglects the external more, and into the internal, will see things without eyes. Yishma b'lo yayin, will hear without ears. Yedaber b'lo lashon, he'll be able to talk to people without using his tongue, because he'll project thoughts in other people's minds. If I have a pure, strong mind, I can actually make you think certain thoughts. And I can hear you in the neshama speaking to me. I can see things without seeing, I can hear without hearing, I can hear without ears, and I can talk without a tongue, and I can feel things, without actually touching them. And that person will be on such a high level that nothing, the person will never be upset about anything of his matzav, no matter how bad things are, good or bad. He can be sick, he can be poor, he can have tzaras, nothing's going to bother him. He will not reject, not be upset not be turned off by any, not even one detail of his situation. The person who cleans out his inside will never want that, I wish it would be different. I wish God would do this for me. No, it's really, why didn't God give me this kind of a house, this kind of a wife, this kind of a child? I wish things would be different. Why don't I have a better parnasa? Why is such a crummy business out? No, the person who comes as Madrega will not prefer to be in any different situation than he is right now. He says, what I'm right now is perfect. You know why? Because God chose it for me. And inside, I am living in the internal world. I feel God inside of me. I know that it's good because I feel good. I feel good all inside. The outside, I'm not in. I am sense dead. My senses are dead. I am living in the internal world. This person has corresponded. Yatim. This person has totally corresponded and totally dovetailed his will with the will of Hashem. If Hashem wants to be like this, it must be great. I have no complaint whatsoever. It's perfect. Gam zu l'toiva, this is perfect. Yatim es ritzoinai el ratzon abari, Hashem's will, my will, it is one. Whatever he wants is perfect for me. Perfect. And my love is only for the Rabbanu Shalom. The only thing I want to love in life anyway is the Rabbanu Shalom. Everything else is just necessities. It's functional. It's pragmatic. The only love there is a love for Hashem. And then he'll only love what Hashem wants. He'll only despise what Hashem despises. And this person will reach the highest level that shayach for a human being to attain. And it all comes, he says, when a person realizes that it's more important to live inside of us than outside and work on our attitudes, our feelings, and our machshavas. They should be pure and clean and dedicated to Hashem and think of Hashem the whole day, wherever you go. Try Messiah, Yud, K, Vav, K, the letters of Hashem in front of our eyes. And whatever it is, I want to be with Hashem. I don't want to get away from Hashem. This temptation comes. I know it's a very nice temptation. It's gewaltic. It's tantalizing. But I'd rather be with Hashem. If I give in to this temptation, Hashem will run away from me. I will chase Hashem away from me. He doesn't run. We chase him out. I want to be with Hashem. When I let Hashem into my heart, and I clean out my heart from all of the cancer of the heart, all the mold, all the decay, all the rot, all the filth, then the inner light is so great that it's nirvana. It's mama. It's bliss. I am masking. And you have vision. A person that he can see without eyes, hear without ears, talk without a tongue, feel without touching. A different madrig. He's super. He's above senses. He's super sensory, extra sensory perception, living in a whole different dimension. Rabbi Sai, that is the end of the 10th meditation. Next week, Bez Hashem, I have to be in, have to do a big mysterious nefesh for Klal Yisrael and go to Florida. It's a terrible place to go in the middle of the winter. I know it's terrible.